We've become a little bit famous in the last couple of weeks. The ministry for which I work, First Fruits of Zion, our Torah Club efforts, the Brahm Center for Messianic Jewish Learning in Jerusalem, and our work in Jerusalem have all been sorely slandered in the Jewish press. The story begins a few weeks ago when allegations emerged that a secret missionary was posing as an Orthodox rabbi living in Jerusalem. It was reminiscent of the May 2019 story about that young missionary couple in Chicago who had been posing as Orthodox Jews. Both stories ignited a firestorm of outrage from both religious and secular Jews, especially in Israel. Regardless of the truth about the secret missionaries, the anti-missionary organizations made false allegations connecting this rabbi with First Fruits of Zion. We had no relationship with him, but the stone had been cast, and the wild, viral success of the story encouraged Israeli anti-missionary organizations to stoke the fire with similar stories. It looked to me like it started a competition between anti-missionary organizations in Israel, and suddenly they were trying to beat each other to the scoop in order to appeal to their donors and funders by being the first to unmask more secret missionaries. That's how First Fruits of Zion got dragged into the morass. We were low-hanging fruit, since everyone knows about FFOZ, and we don't hide our identities or our work. The allegations made about our work in Jerusalem were not true. Some of the press tried to mischaracterize us as secret missionaries, masquerading as religious Jews, or to say that we operate a fake missionary synagogue in Jerusalem where Christian missionaries are trained to impersonate religious Jews. The media carefully avoided the use of the term Messianic Jews, instead replacing nearly every instance of that term with the inflammatory word missionary. Several articles were carefully crafted to create the impression that any Jew who believes in Jesus is not really Jewish, but actually a Gentile Christian missionary masquerading as a religious Jew. Again, these allegations are false charges. The Brahm Center for Messianic Jewish Studies is a Messianic Jewish study center. We have an Ark, a Torah scroll, and a library so that the local Messianic Jewish community can gather from time to time for a Rosh Chodesh service or a weekday simcha, but there are no Shabbat services whatsoever. The Israeli disciples of Yeshua who gather at the Brahm Center and FFOZ's Jewish staff members are not masquerading as religious Jews. They are religious Jews who also happen to believe that Yeshua of Nazareth is the Messiah. That does not make them Christian missionaries. It's fair to say that First Fruits of Zion propagates the teaching of Yeshua of Nazareth, defends his reputation, and brings Messianic Jewish teaching to Christians and Jews, but that's not a secret. We have never tried to conceal that. What would be the point of trying to hide that? We are the largest and most visible Messianic Jewish education ministry in the world, and we conduct the largest Messianic Jewish Bible study in the world. We have never masqueraded as something we are not, nor do we proselytize. So why is this such a big deal to the Jewish community in the first place? A little bit of context will help explain the situation. The Jewish community has what you could call an allergic reaction to Christian missionaries. This comes from 2,000 years of regular inoculations by Christian efforts to persuade Jews to become Christians, and subsequently to abandon their Jewish identity. No other people group in the world has been as relentlessly targeted, pursued, wooed, hassled, cajoled, corralled, pressed, pressured, and persecuted by Christian missionary organizations and outreach efforts. and it's rarely been conducted in a straightforward peer-to-peer manner. Unfortunately, the church has a long history of perpetrating devious and deceptive evangelism strategies against the Jewish community. In the Middle Ages, the local bishop or priest might show up unannounced at the synagogue with armed men any Shabbat. They locked the doors and forced the congregation to stay in the synagogue while the bishop or priest delivered a homily about how Jesus is the Messiah and the Torah has been canceled and Jews are damned if they do not renounce Judaism and become Christians. That was something the Jews had to endure on a regular basis. And that's when Christians were being nice about it. Other medieval efforts to convert Jews were a lot less friendly. Jewish communities were frequently attacked by Christians. Jewish people were forced to confess Christ or die. Children of Jewish families were kidnapped, baptized, and raised as Christians. And during the pogroms and the Crusades, Christian missionaries came heavily armed. The reputation of Christian missions to the Jews did not improve significantly during the Reformation era. Luther believed that Jews only rejected Christ because of the abuses of the Catholic Church. He supposed that once they heard the Protestant presentation of the gospel, they would hop on board. He initiated missionary outreach under the Reformation principles. When the Jewish communities declined to become Protestants, he issued his encyclicals against the Jews, calling for the burning of synagogues, imprisonment of Jewish leaders, and exile of Jewish communities. Other Christian and evangelical missions to the Jewish people have not improved the reputation of Jesus. They have been characterized by extremely devious attempts to take advantage of the vulnerable within Jewish communities. Christian missionary organizations created financial assistance programs, which took advantage of desperately poor Jewish families by offering them financial incentives to be baptized as Christians. They actually purchased conversions. They created schools and sent out teachers as tutors, which secretly indoctrinated people's children with Christian theology. One of the main tactics that Christian missionaries employ to this very day is an ideological battle against Judaism, which deliberately attempts to undermine and discredit Jewish religious authority by dismissing it all as Pharisaic rubbish and stiff-necked traditions of men. This looks like ongoing and vitriolic campaigns against rabbinic literature, against the Mishnah, the Talmud, the Midrash, and the whole body of Jewish law. The premise behind this tactic is that rabbinic literature is the only real obstacle keeping Jewish people from converting to Christianity. The missionaries believe that by delegitimizing the rabbis and undermining Jewish religious authority, they remove the obstacle to belief in Jesus. Another strategy, which has been part of the polemic between Judaism and Christianity since Justin Martyr's dialogue with Trypho, involves persuading Jewish people that they don't understand their own Bible. Christian missionaries train to argue the interpretation of certain prophecies and Bible passages to persuade Jewish people that the rabbis are lying to them and intentionally misinterpreting the Bible to hide prophecies about Jesus. Then there's the continual harassment. Jewish people learn to be on the continual lookout for missionary work. Christian missionary literature targeted at the Jewish people generates millions of tracts, mass mailings, flyers, advertisements, and all sorts of media, which is constantly being directed at Jewish homes. Every Jewish home receives piles of missionary junk mail. You go to the kosher market, and you have flyers stuck under your windshield wiper. You'll find tracts stuffed into your mailbox. Online, it's even worse. Jewish people are targeted by a barrage of Facebook ads, Google ads, email campaigns. The comment stream under every Jewish interest article or post on the internet is guaranteed to be cluttered with comments from Christians attempting to persuade Jews to start believing in Jesus. Then there's the television shows and radio shows, sometimes whole television stations and radio stations aimed at Jewish people, with continual programming to persuade Jews to become Christians. I've even seen billboard campaigns with missionary advertisements in Jewish neighborhoods. It's a relentless and never-ending Christian propaganda campaign. All of this, together, amounts to an enormous, well-funded, relentless, never-ending campaign to destroy Judaism and the Jewish people in the name of Jesus. Why are Jews so specially targeted by missionary efforts? On the one hand, it's because well-meaning Christians who love Israel and the Jewish people are trying to rescue them from going to hell. Replacement theology teaches that unless Jews become Christians, they are damned to eternity in hell. On the other hand, the dictates of replacement theology demand the absorption of Israel into the church because the church is specifically supposed to replace Israel. This creates a theological impetus, whether conscious or unconscious, a theological impetus for the heightened evangelistic targeting of the Jewish people. When Jews do become Christians, they are taught to abandon Judaism and Torah observance, to intermarry with Gentile Christians, and to leave behind Jewish identity. They are quickly assimilated into the Gentile world. As a result, the Jewish people are diminished, Jewish disciples are neutralized, while Jews who resist the message and remain in the Jewish community are only further inoculated against even considering the teachings of Yeshua. Here's the hard and fast sociological rule at work. The harder Christians try to get Jewish people to believe in Jesus, the more damage they do to the reputation of Yeshua within the Jewish world, and the higher they raise the walls of Jewish resistance to the gospel. In the view of this long, sad history of interaction between these religions, it's no wonder that a certain class of Jewish counter-missionary emerged. These are people within the Jewish community who take on the mission of countering Christian attempts at persuading Jews to become Christians. So they're referred to as anti-missionaries. They're like antibodies that fight against an infection. But in this case, the infection is Christian proselytism. Anti-missionaries are professionals in arguing against the claims of Christianity. They point out Christian dogmas, glaring theological inconsistencies with the Torah and the prophets, in many cases very accurately. They work hard to delegitimize the New Testament. They write literature attempting to counter Christianity's interpretations of the prophets and attempting to poke holes in the credibility of the Gospels. They conduct classes about how to refute Christians, and they pursue and expose devious missionary efforts at work within the Jewish community, especially when those efforts are conducted as a ruse or under false pretenses. They see themselves as defenders of the Jewish people, defenders of truth, defenders of the Torah, and they are just as relentless as the missionaries. They are warriors in an ideological holy war, like Christian missionaries cut from the same cloth. They are warriors in an ideological holy war, like Christian missionaries cut from the same cloth. They are not above resorting to deception and distortion for the sake of defaming their opposition and promoting and protecting their community. And this happens on both sides of the equation. As I've already pointed out, we see Christian crusaders campaigning for Jewish evangelism, engaging in similar strategies of defamation against Judaism and Jewish authority. That's how we have arrived at the inflammatory stories posted in the Jewish press in recent weeks. The initial stories that appeared in the Jewish press were written by self-avowed anti-missionaries. The press simply printed the claims of the anti-missionaries, and the anti-missionaries did their best to make it sound like they had uncovered a major scandal. Other newspapers and media sources followed suit with sensationalist headlines like "Missionary Sleeper Cell Uncovered in Jerusalem." To be fair, a lot of early Messianic Judaism was primarily a missionary venture, and most of it still is today. The modern Messianic Jewish movement and Hebrew Christian movement really did begin as a Christian missionary front. In many cases, it was a bait-and-switch game where Christian missionaries dressed things up with Stars of David, Israeli flags, and some Jewish flavor to hopefully lure Jews to the gospel. The idea was to meet on the Sabbath instead of Sunday, do some Israeli folk dance, sing Israeli-sounding songs set in a minor key, say Yeshua instead of Jesus, all of this to make Jewish people feel more comfortable before presenting them with the gospel pitch. It was mostly cosmetic. Most of the early Messianic Jewish synagogues existed not as places for the practice of Messianic Judaism, but as outreach centers created and maintained primarily for reaching Jewish people with the gospel. And that remains true for most Messianic synagogues to this day. When you understand this whole scope of the history of Jewish interactions with Christian missionaries, you understand the context for the scandal and the defamation of First Fruits of Zion. This time, however, the anti-missionaries were barking up the wrong tree. First Fruits of Zion is part of what Rabbi Dr. Kinzer calls post-missionary Messianic Judaism. In post-missionary Messianic Judaism, Jewish disciples of Yeshua live Jewish lives and practice Judaism not for the sake of luring and converting other Jews, but simply because they themselves are Jewish. Post-missionary Messianic Judaism is rooted in a post-supersessionist reading of the New Testament, and it advocates distinction theology, which says that Jewish disciples should remain Jewish. Likewise, Gentile disciples should remain Gentile. Gentile disciples of Yeshua can practice Messianic Judaism as co-religionists with the Jewish disciples, but they don't misappropriate Jewish identity, pretend to be Jewish, or dress as religious Jews, hoping to be mistaken as Jewish people. Instead, post-missionary Messianic Judaism understands and advocates healthy distinction between Jews and non-Jews. We are against non-Jews masquerading as Jews. But even the name post-missionary Messianic Judaism admits that Messianic Judaism previously existed as a missionary venture. That's why it's post-missionary. That admits that it was missionary. In response to the allegations in the Jewish press, First Fruits of Zion issued a press release protesting the mischaracterization and stressing that, and this is a quotation from the press release, "First Fruits of Zion does not conduct covert missionary activity. Our organization and our teachings are well known. Our identity as a Messianic Jewish organization is stated in all of our materials. We are open and public about what we do, providing Messianic Jewish teaching to Christians and Jews for over 20 years. We denounce evangelism and proselytizing, especially when any deception is involved. Instead, like any movement with an ideology, we engage in discussion and hope that more people will see things our way. Our goal is not to win over converts to our creed, but to influence society through reasoned, intellectually honest, and mutually respectful dialogue." The press release immediately received negative kickback from people on the missionary side of Messianic Judaism. They objected, "In what sense do you denounce proselytism and evangelism among the Jewish people?" Look, to Jewish ears, all forms of proselytism and evangelism are attempts by Christian missionaries to persuade Jews to abandon Judaism and Jewish identity by converting to the Christian religion. But from our perspective, the good news message of the historical Jesus of Nazareth had nothing to do with persuading Jews to leave Judaism and join Christianity. Instead, the good news message of the Jewish Yeshua consisted of an urgent call to the lost sheep of Israel, summoning them to repent and return to the Jewish faith and religion. He warned us not to suppose that he had come to cancel the Torah or the prophets. And he always pointed his disciples back to the Torah of Moses, even endorsing Jewish legal authority. In that regard, attempts to proselytize Jewish people contradict Yeshua's own teaching to his people, and we denounce all such efforts. Naturally, we want Jewish people to reconsider Yeshua of Nazareth from a Jewish perspective, and to heed his teachings. But that's not the same as missionizing Jewish people or persuading them to become Christians. I find it ironic that the Brahm Center was singled out for the attack as a missionary center. The Brahm Center is named after Avram Polyak. His nickname was Brahm. He's one of the founding pioneers of Messianic Judaism in Israel. No one was more hated and hunted by Christian missionaries to the Jews than Avram Polyak. Read his autobiography. Christian missionary organizations at work to evangelize Jews hated the entire concept of what was then called Jewish Christianity, that is, Messianic Judaism. And they hated Avram Polyak. They strongly objected to the idea that Jews could become disciples of Yeshua of Nazareth without being baptized into a Christian church and abandoning the Torah and Judaism. They ruthlessly persecuted Polyak, arranged for his arrest and internment during the war, falsely reported his death, betrayed him more than once, conducted campaigns against him and his teachings, boycotted him in Europe, and slandered him internationally. Following the vision of Avram Polyak, the Brahm Center for Messianic Jewish Learning exists to teach the Messianic Jews of Israel about their own Jewish heritage, the beauty of Judaism, and also to persuade them that Yeshua did not cancel the Torah, that Christianity does not replace Judaism, and that as Jewish disciples of Yeshua, they could be living Jewish lives, faithful to the Torah. That's one of the goals of the Brahm Center. At the same time, it's a place for all disciples of Yeshua, Jewish and non-Jewish, to gather, connect, and learn. We want it to be a place visitors from the nations can come and connect with Israel and Messianic Judaism. But it's primarily there to make a statement, namely that Messianic Judaism is a real Judaism, that Messianic Jews exist and have a right to exist, and a responsibility to live as religious Jews. I have often heard anti-FFOZ sentiments expressed in the broader Messianic movement. In fulfillment of the general rule of Messianic conduct, which states, one must never miss an opportunity to criticize first fruits of Zion. Sadly, I've already heard of some Messianic people and Hebrew roots people agreeing with the anti-missionaries and saying, because this person believes in Yeshua, he or she is not legitimately Jewish. Anyone who takes that position should probably rethink his or her allegiance to Yeshua and connection with Messianic Judaism, because that's the same as throwing our master under the bus. Why should faith in Yeshua cancel a person's Jewishness? It doesn't. At the same time, we're hearing plenty of criticism from people who have misunderstood what we mean when we say we denounce proselytism and evangelism. But we have not built our ministry on the premise of evangelizing Jews, but rather on the premise of teaching Gentile Christians about the Jewishness of Yeshua and teaching them a Jewish reading of the entire Bible, including the New Testament. If we are missionaries in any sense, our mission field is the Gentile church, and our message is Yeshua's very Jewish message about the coming messianic era and his urgent call for repentance and love. We are the voice advocating the authority of the Torah and the integrity of the Jewish people to the Gentile Christian world, and the Brahm Center in Jerusalem is the place from which we broadcast that message of Torah going out to the nations. To describe it then, as the Jewish press has done, as a surreptitious missionary effort with an artificial veneer of Judaism intended to trick and deceive Jews, is a complete mischaracterization. We live in an increasingly acrimonious world, which is increasingly dangerous. The pandemic, allegiance to conspiracy theories, and the unhinged rise in political partisanship and nationalism has dispelled the illusion of society's state of general mental health. It's completely obvious that people today have little interest in truth, nor patience for nuance, and no desire for middle ground. Instead, everyone picks a side and defends their position, regardless of facts, truth, reason, or logic. This same phenomenon is at work in the current situation with First Fruits of Zion and the Jewish press. It does not matter what we say in response. People will believe the slander if it supports their presuppositions, regardless of what objections we raise. In light of that, I can only ask you to keep the ministry in your prayers. Thank you for being an FFOZ friend and standing alongside us. Pray along with us for God to work this situation for good. All of this reminds me of a story in the Bible about King David fleeing from Jerusalem to escape Absalom. His son Absalom had conducted a coup, and David had to flee for his life. On his way out of the city, just on the other side of the Mount of Olives, he encounters a Benjamite from the house of Saul, who throws dirt at him and calls down curses on him. David's mighty men offer to strike the man down, but David replies, "Behold, my son, who came out from me, seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord has told him. Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day." We should be also praying for the protection of our Israel staff and the future viability of our work in Israel. We've seen some public incitements to violence against the Israel staff, and in Israel, that's a real possibility. So we should be praying for their physical, legal, social protection, and also for the protection of their reputations. Moreover, we should be asking God to look on our affliction and return good to us instead of cursing. Marketers say that all publicity is good publicity. I'm not so sure, but I'm hoping that God will use this incident to strengthen the ministry and the mission, to expand our reach, and to broadcast our message more widely. Most of all, I urge you not to pick sides. There are no real sides in a fight like this. The answer is not to return hatred with hatred. We don't want to become anti-missionaries. Instead, our master taught us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. In the end of all things, these arguments and allegations and accusations account for nothing. They have no standing in the ultimate court of justice before the throne of judgment. But the way that we respond, that will be weighed and scrutinized. The way that we respond to adversity is always more significant than the adversity itself, because life is always a test. This is how it is with all these fights and squabbles, religious, political, national, halakhic, and ideological alike. We are all like children, like toddlers squabbling over toys in the sandbox, while Hashem looks on. It all seems to be so deadly serious to us, but in reality, these are all childish things, insignificant under the banner of love that God stretches out above all of us, an all-encompassing love that shines upon us, reflected in the face of our Master, Yeshua. Thank you for being an FFOZ friend and making our work possible in Jerusalem and in the rest of the world too.